Royal Oak City Manager Bob Cowell Jr. is back with us again this morning in studio to talk about what's new in Roanoke and what's going on with Roanoke and some of the more recent issues that have come to light. Bob Cowell joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me in studio this morning. And Bob, first up, let's say welcome back. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good to have you here. So let's get right to it, Bob. The decision to relocate the downtown Valley Metro bus terminal to Salem Avenue from Campbell Avenue has caused some residents and developers to talk about fears of increased crime in that area near the Transportation Museum. So Bob, what can be done to allay those fears?
Sure. I think for us and for the council, the biggest opportunity is really in the design. And we've said that, council has said that all along. And that's not to dismiss the seriousness of some of the issues that were raised, but we really do believe that taking a facility that's 40 years old and turning it into something that's contemporary really is going to improve the situation. And so that's going to be our focus as we move forward.
You know, Bob, one of the things the people from the Transportation Museum are concerned about is when they have a big special event, and they used to rent out that parking lot where the bus station apparently will go, and people may have to use the parking garage next door, and they're worried about lighting or whatever. Can anything be done to kind of allay that, you know, as far as extra lighting or security or something?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be some conversations certainly with them as we go along also as to what will work for them in terms of design. And we'll certainly be looking at lighting. We'll be looking at landscaping, the transparency, the building, those kinds of things. And we've even talked with them a little bit about some of the other parking options that might exist within the area.
So when's all that going to happen? When are they going to start doing
well,
that?
Well, we won't close on the property until probably July on that. And then we'll move into the design discussion with them. Then you've got the temporary facility that will come online, and then we'll actually start construction. So we're still a couple of years away from it actually opening up.
Where's the temporary facility going to be?
It'll be on that property. We just don't know where exactly on the property yet.
Let's talk about the positive, some of the more positive aspects. You move out of the Campbell Court area. I think Lucas Thornton and company will right. redevelop that whole thing, kind of a even creating another little street, mixed-use development, bringing some more vibrancy to downtown.
Yeah, kind of a cool idea that they've got where they'll come in and redevelop that property and, as you said, put a street in the middle of it. And the advantage of the street is then you end up with kind of corner lots and a little bit more of street activity, which I think will help their retail opportunities on the ground floor. So, and just to add a piece to that section of the city that we don't currently have, a little bit more vibrancy.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Roanoke's manager, Bob Cowell. Let's talk about the new Franklin Road Bridge. Finally, set to open next month. Does that look like it's okay?
Yeah, as long as the weather holds and we don't get a bunch more rain as we go along, we should be in good shape with it.
And that was shut down for about 2 years. Now, there's a community meeting tonight, I believe, on the Wasina Bridge replacement, and that won't start happening until, I think, 2022, and then two more neighborhood meetings follow. What does the city want to hear from residents that might be impacted by that as far as any concerns they might have about, you know, commercial property they might own or getting in and out? What do you want to hear from
right.
people?
Right. What we want to hear and what we have heard from them, because this is actually the fourth in a series of meetings that we've had with them, is both of those points, which is we want to hear from the residents in the area about what they want to see in the bridge in terms of design, some other aspects of it. And we want to hear from the businesses about how we can help mitigate the really the challenges they'll face when we go through a year plus of construction on that bridge and their ability to get business to that. And we're hearing that from them. And it's actually helping us as we go forward in the design. And part of what tonight's meeting will be is to start to share some of those design elements that have come out of that.
And these bridges that you're replacing, these are old bridges.
Right.
Designed, outdated. So just updating them or putting some more struts on them or something is not an option.
Right. We've looked at, and actually for years, that's what the city has done, is kind of repair them, if you will. And they finally reached the point where they just need to be replaced. Once done, though, we hope that we won't be having to do this same kind of thing for 75, 100 years as we go forward. We'll repair them along the way, but not replace them.
Are there other bridges that are in the mix after Wasina?
There are. We've got other bridges, although I'll preface that by saying the other bridges are not demolition candidates. So we've got, obviously, the bridges on Jefferson and Walnut, which are just as old as these others. However, they were built to carry streetcars, so they're much, much stronger, much more robust. And frankly, a little more historic even. And so those will be a little more challenging because we'll need to repair those and retrofit those without removing them. But those will be next on the list as we move forward.
That's interesting. So some of these were actually built for trolley tracks and
the
whole nine yards. Wow. We're talking with Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell Jr. Let's move on. Let's talk about City Council. John Garland had to resign from City Council, or he resigned from City Council to avoid possible conflicts of interest with his day job as a developer and landlord. Did you see that, Bob, is the right thing to do? Did John have to recuse himself on a number of occasions? He did recuse himself. And maybe should there be some kind of something in the city charter that says if you're involved as a developer or something that maybe you can't run?
I mean, I think, you know, obviously we want to open up as to as many people as possible that can run. And I think John exhibited, and actually recently Michelle Davis had done that as well, exhibited that they have real concern of making sure that there's not an appearance of conflict or a real conflict. And they've always done a great job of recusing themselves from those items. I think John finally arrived at the point at which he felt like, I can't be an effective council person and have to recuse myself as often as I can, and I can't divest myself of those development interests I have. And so he felt like he could make the best difference in the community by returning to his private development role. And, you know, I think every council member will face their own particular challenges, and each one of them just figure out their way to work through that.
On the other hand, it was sort of nice maybe to have a developer, a builder on the council. John always seemed like he had a lot of insight.
Yeah, I really enjoyed working with John. Of course, he was there when I was hired, and I've had great interaction with him. I did tell him on his way out, I said, you know, John, I really do believe you're probably going to have even more influence as a private developer working in the community because he is so committed to the community.
850 now at WFIR. We're visiting this morning with Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell Jr. And Bob, construction continues at the Virginia Tech Carilion Research Institute addition, which promises up to 1,000 jobs and research students once it's completed. So, Bob, what impact do you think that's going to have on our city, whether it's more demand for housing or on local businesses?
Yeah, I mean, the impact is going to be long-lasting and significant. Most importantly, it's because of the activity that comes in, as you said, with bringing in researchers, bringing mm-hmm. in students. And those will have some impacts. They're not huge numbers, but they're good numbers, good-paying jobs, mm-hmm. obviously. The other thing it'll have a significant impact on is continuing placing us, if you will, kind of on that map. I mean, the innovation corridor in that area just continues to evolve. Of course, Haywood Fralin's gift to the area with his donation really kind of stepped that game up significantly. So I think the biggest impact will be that this is really the first step in more steps to come.
You know, one of the whole hopes of the Research Institute that it would spin off, you know, into local businesses. I know RAMP is sort of involved with that process, and the city's involved with the RAMP, which is sort of nurturing small businesses, some which have spun off from there. Or do you see somewhere down the road, Bob, where there will be significant economic development activity that comes out of projects at the Research Institute?
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, there's been at least two researchers that actually then moved into the RAMP facility to further develop their commercialization and their ideas for business. And we would expect many more of those, enough so that we're actually beginning to sort of contemplate, well, what happens to those businesses that move from the Research Institute out into RAMP, and then they're done with RAMP, and now they're ready to do something further. They're not likely to move back into just the Research Institute. What's that next facility to kind of nurture that, much like you see in Blacksburg with the Corporate Research Center? So absolutely, that's the expectation.
Mm-hmm. So is that where there might be need for some kind of industrial park or something?
Yeah, I think the idea is to actually look at a way in which we can expand the footprint of the impact. You've got the Research Institute doing the research. Now we need to continue to look at places that we can locate those businesses that may spin out of that or even support what they're doing. And so, yes, we'll be looking at are there opportunities in general proximity. There's a number of warehouses that could possibly be converted into other uses, and then other property that could be redeveloped.
We're talking with Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell. We've got a few minutes left. Let's move on. Some of the last prominent, Bob, vacant buildings in downtown Roanoke will soon be redeveloped. The former First National Bank building, that iconic Grecian column building at Campbell and Jefferson. Carillion is going to move some of their people into that from next door. And the Hieronymus building, finally, after being shut down for more than a decade, I think, will be redeveloped for mixed use. How important is it in a core downtown area, Bob, not to have big structures that are vacant?
Yeah, they're huge. I don't think when I came here to interview, I probably was not asked a question more often than, what can we do about Hieronymus? Of course, I didn't know what Hieronymus was at the time. And so I kind of jokingly said at the time that if we could figure out something to do with it, then I'd be set for a number of years. Well, we were fortunate to have a team of developers come in from Richmond with really their own kind of initiation. There isn't much extra effort the city put into that. By contrast, Mass General Store identifying, kind of going in, the city has worked with them for over a decade, actually, to get into the area. And so them being there and being that kind of retailer that attracts people to downtown is huge and as big as just filling that building with productive activity. And I absolutely do think that and the bank building that you mentioned, bringing those both into productive use is going to cause us to see a lot more activity in that area.
I'm just wondering, you know, will all these people that are living downtown now, are we you know, you feel that we're approaching a tipping point, or is there still room for expansion downtown residentially?
Yeah, the sense is there is still room. There was a little bit of a lull a few months ago where vacancies were starting to decline and rents were kind of stagnating. We've since seen that sort of recover. As you mentioned with the Research Institute, if we see more students coming in, I think that'll boost that as well. And interestingly, the discussion regarding the bus facilities raises one of the things we hadn't really thought a whole lot about recently is we have so many people living downtown now. It is a neighborhood in and of itself, and we'll have to start acting and conducting ourselves and interacting with them in that way, just like we do all of our other neighborhoods.
And we should mention again, going back to the bus station, that once that happens, there will be a permanent train station / Greyhound bus station that will be built.
Correct. The Greyhound will continue to be located out of the transit facility, so it will move with the buses. But you're correct, the Amtrak facility right next to the platform will have a what you will call a station, which will right now be kind of a waiting area with just a place for people to get out of the elements as they wait for people to come and go on the train. And mm-hmm. that'll be kind of last in the puzzle. But within 2 to 3 years, we'll have that up and running as well.
Just a couple of quick hits. Roanoke recently has joined several alliances, Bob, with other cities, sharing information on corridors, innovation corridors, and how to grow strong communities. Are you a believer in these type of cooperative efforts to share information with localities?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I really enjoyed when I came here to interview for the job and what I've seen is that cooperation regionally, particularly at the administrator's level. So it'll be interesting to see as we go through this transition with a couple of the administrators leaving the community and the folks coming in behind them, if we can sustain that, because I absolutely believe that's critical for the success of our region.
I want to talk before we go. You're still blogging for the public. I like your blogs that are on the city government website, and there's a link on the Facebook page. Your most recent one was on appreciation for public servants, written during the partial government shutdown. What was the message you wanted to get across there?
I happened to fly during that time, and it wasn't lost on me that as I was walking through security, those folks were working without pay. As a matter of fact, a week before, they had had a delivery by the food pantry to help them with that. I also knew, as I said in the blog, I was going to be in an airplane being guided by air traffic controllers who likewise were not getting paid. There aren't many people that go to work with that kind of responsibility with no idea when they may get paid. And so I really wanted to convey that notion that there's something special about those workers, that it's not just a job to them, that they're willing to go beyond that. And that's what I wanted to convey. And we've got a lot of that same kind of spirit within the city. In that particular case, really focused on those folks.
You get a lot of feedback on your blogs or on the Facebook page. I see people comments critical and praising. And do you sort of like that feedback?
Yeah, absolutely. And I probably get 10 times that as I'm out walking around the neighborhoods and around downtown, which is good because you always wonder, is anybody really reading this? And so it's nice to have someone come up and say, hey, read the blog. Here's where I agree or here's where I disagree. And hopefully more people join in on that.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell, thanks for joining us again. And we'll see you soon.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you.